And away we go. We're off and running on this 4th of July Eve, Independence Day Eve, maybe is a better way to say that. Wednesday, July the 3rd, 2019, 16 minutes past the hour, and away we go. We have got so much to do over the next 2 hours, and we're going to have fun doing it. Now, I'm going to give you, I want you to think about this, but I'm going to give you a recipe coming up this hour, because there were talk of recipes this morning, and I've given you my Jell-O whipped cream cottage cheese recipe before. But if you happen to be going to a cookout tomorrow, or a barbecue, or maybe some kind of potluck, I have a macaroni and cheese recipe that will fool them all. And it's a great dish, and every time I've ever prepared this dish and taken it to an event, I come back home with an empty dish. No leftovers at all. So I'm going to give you that recipe here in just a few minutes. Now, I want you to be thinking of your own recipes, too, that maybe people can make tonight for their big event tomorrow or Friday as we celebrate this Independence Day. So I'm going to give you that macaroni and cheese recipe here momentarily. We've got some Independence Day trivia that we have not gotten to yet this week. We've got tickets to Zumbeezy Bay, the Dublin Irish Festival, as well as the Wilds and the Columbus Zoo. So we've got those to give away this hour. But, and maybe a possible special phone call. Now, I can't guarantee this yet because it's very hard to do this on the day before the 4th of July. But we're going to try to get this in at a quarter till today. It may happen, it may not. If not, we'll just go right along with our Independence Day trivia. But the first thing I wanted to do, when I started in radio, one of the people I worked with was Madge Cooper, who was a mainstay at WMRN for over 5 decades. Now, Madge never really had any traditions when it came to Christmas or Thanksgiving or anything like that on the air, but she did have a tradition when it came to the 4th of July. And long after she was off the air, she would still go back to WMRN on the 3rd or 4th of July and do this tradition. And it's a very unique tradition. And one year, I taped it before Madge left us. So you will hear this bit, this tradition, in Madge's own voice. Now, what makes it so unique is it doesn't have to do with fireworks. It doesn't have to do with the Declaration of Independence. It doesn't have to do with the typical things that we think of when we think of the 4th of July. So I'm going to play it. Takes about 6 minutes. Think about your recipes while this is on, but this is the Madge Cooper 4th of July tribute that she did for so many years. You might remember it yourself. Here we go. Take it away, Madge.
Did this a few times on the air. I had seen and heard a play on Broadway called Benjamin Franklin in Paris. And it, after the close of the Revolutionary War, when this country was brand new, I mean really new, barely set up, we had a president and officers, but we had no money, and we didn't have much direction where we were going altogether, and it was really kind of haphazard in some ways. And yet the things that Charlton talked about were there, and they still are. Well, Benjamin Franklin, they picked to go to Paris and try to get us recognized as a country. Because remember, we had been colonies of Great Britain, as you'll hear in the Declaration tomorrow. So we thought if we'd go to France and get ourselves recognized, then we could maybe borrow some money and get ourselves set up and start really going ahead. So Benjamin Franklin went over there and spent for, I think, a couple of years, took his grandson with him. Had a pretty good time, actually, but worked hard at trying to get us recognized as a country, and they wouldn't do it. He could see the officials in Paris, but they would always introduce him as Le Dr. Benjamin Franklin of the American colonies, always. And he could not get over that. And finally he gave up. He was packed. He was ready to go home. And as he waited in the waiting room for his last talk with the French ambassador, French that was representative, but he was waiting to get in to talk to him, and he had this thought. The thought is not in my voice. It was given in Robert Preston's voice as Benjamin Franklin thinking about, again, what it's like really to be an American after 200 years. And I like this. I hope you do too.
I have heard about a cask of good Madeira wine into which a small fly fell. Which cask was corked, was shipped 3,000 miles across the sea, where, after 20 years of lying in the dark, was brought up, was opened, and a first glass filled from it, at which filling it chanced that a small drop of wine spilled upon the tabletop. And there in that small drop of wine lay the selfsame fly, who, seeming dead, did as the sun shone on him and dried his wings, arise miraculously, shook himself, and flew up bustling into the blue day as alive again as ever he had been. Now, I don't know how scientific that tale is, but I should like to be buried in such a cask of good Madeira wine that after 200 years, I too should rise up and stand once more on Pennsylvania land and walk and talk and breathe the free air. For I know in my heart somehow it will be free. I know it. I know it even now. What a dream. 200 years. And I wonder how I should find them then. Those Americans to whom the name American will not be new. Will they love liberty, being given it outright in the crib for nothing? And will they know that if you are not free, you are, sir, lost without hope? And will they who reap this harvest of ideas be willing to strive to preserve them as we so willingly strove to plant them? That all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Yes, sir. And would they die for it? Well, that's the question one must finally ask oneself. Would I die for it? And the answer one must say is, yes, sir, I would.
Monsieur le docteur, the king will see you now.
Yes, I'll be right along. Well, anyway, it would be fun to be pickled for 200 years in a cask of good Madeira wine.
Monsieur le docteur, Benjamin Franklin. The ambassador of the United States of America.
And there it is, the Madge Cooper 4th of July tribute that was played for many, many years on WMRN. And she even came back to do it long after she had retired. Now, I hope everybody got the point of that. And the gist of it is, it's an interesting question. 200 years later, which this country now, of course, is more than 200 years old, about 230, 240 years old at this point, do we understand liberty? Do we understand independence? And do we understand it like the people who fought to get it? What do you think? If you want to give an answer, let us know, because I think that is such a poignant piece, and I think that's why Madge did it for so many years, and I think that's why it was appreciated for so many years. On WMRN, do you think we care about liberty and democracy and what this country really is all about today as much as those people who fought for it 200 years ago? What do you think? 740-383-9944. And for those of you who I know listened to Madge Cooper for so many years, wasn't it nice to hear her voice again? That's the great thing about radio. We will be here forever, those of us who speak over the microphones. So glad we can keep that tradition going here at WWGH Radio, because I think it's very, very poignant. 740-383-9944. Do you think we care about democracy and freedom and what this country is all about as much as those people did 200 years ago? What do you think? 740-383-9944. Now, while you're thinking about that, here comes the recipe. Now, a few years ago, I stumbled upon this. Now, I'm not saying I created this, because somebody else has probably done this as well. But I was getting ready. I can't remember if it was a Thanksgiving or if it was a potluck or a Christmas or an Easter or what it was. Maybe a summer cookout. But I was supposed to bring a dish. And I didn't want to bring something that everybody else was bringing. Because usually at those events, you know, Thanksgiving has the turkey, and Christmas sometimes has the turkey and the ham, and all those barbecues has hamburgers, have hamburgers and hot dogs, and Easter has ham sometimes, and deviled eggs and things of that nature. So, macaroni and cheese is always a favorite of people, but I did not want to make just plain old macaroni and cheese. So here's what I did, and this is very easy to do. And people love it. As I say, I've never come home with this recipe, with this dish of macaroni and cheese, any left. It's always eaten completely. Okay, here's what you do. Go to the store, and depending on how big the group is that's going to be at the event, I'll tell you how many I use. I use 4 boxes. But I go to the store, and I get 4 boxes of easy-to-make macaroni and cheese. Now, a lot of people use Kraft, a lot of people use the generic brand, whichever you like, whichever you think tastes the best. Get 4 boxes of that. And what you do is you also go to the dairy department, and you get some mozzarella, a regular size bag of mozzarella shredded cheese, and a bag of Colby shredded cheese. And that's all you need. 4 boxes of easy-make macaroni and cheese, a bag of mozzarella cheese, and a bag of Colby cheese. Now, you take all that home, and you do just like you would do regular macaroni and cheese. Make the 4 boxes of macaroni and cheese. Put them in the pot, stir them up, pour the cheese sauce in, make them just like you were going to eat that macaroni and cheese. Then get your casserole dish out, and dump the contents of that pan into the casserole dish, where now basically you just have a bunch of macaroni and cheese, pre-made macaroni and cheese, cooked in the bottom of the pan. Now set your oven to about 300, let it warm up, and then you take the entire contents of the box of, or the bag of mozzarella cheese, and you put that down over top of the ready-made macaroni and cheese. Then you take the contents of the bag of Colby cheese and you kind of spread that over top of the mozzarella cheese. Then you take that whole pan, that casserole dish, with the ready-made macaroni and cheese already made. Now you've got the raw mozzarella cheese spread over top of it. You've got the raw Colby cheese spread over top of it. And you've got the oven, 300, 350, whichever. You're going to have to keep an eye on this, though. And you put it in the oven. And it usually takes about 5 to 10 minutes. All you have to do is make sure the cheese gets melted and baked to where it looks that the cheese on top, because that's all you're going to be able to see at this point. And what will happen is that cheese will kind of go down on the sides of the ready-made macaroni and cheese that you already made, and on the top it'll become brown and create this kind of nice topping. And you take that out of there, And you take that to the cookout, and people will never know that that was really instant macaroni and cheese because you've put it in a casserole dish and you've added the two other kinds of cheese. So what I call that is easy to make three cheese macaroni and cheese, and it's delicious. So there's your 4th of July, or just any regular night if you want, special macaroni and cheese dish. What do you think? 740-383-9944. Did you get that written down okay? Written. That's an interesting word. Do you have any recipes you'd like to share for the big 4th of July? The talk today has been recipes, and that's an interesting subject. 740-383-9944. Okay, so the two questions we have right now on the table are, do you think people understand liberty, like in the Madge Cooper piece that we played at the top of the program, as much as people did 200 years ago when this country was founded? And do you have any recipes coming up for the big 4th of July holiday? The phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Does the three cheese easy macaroni and cheese dish sound good to you? Let me know that. Have you made that? It's not exactly like I'm an astronaut here, first man on the moon with that one. But it is very good, and people never catch on to the idea that it's instant macaroni and cheese under there, which is a very nice thing. 740-383-9944. Okay, we've got tickets to the Columbus Zoo, we've got tickets to Zumbezi Bay, we've got tickets to the Wilds, and we've got tickets to the Dublin Irish Festival, August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and we have Independence Day trivia. Now, here is the trivia that we did not get answered yesterday. What significant event happened on July 4th, 1938? Does anybody know what significant event happened on July the 4th, 1938 that we would remember? Does anybody know the answer to that one? Does anybody know the year that the White House first celebrated Independence Day? Now, the date was July the 4th, but what was the year? The year the White House first celebrated Independence Day. All right. What is the most common patriotic-sounding word used within place names? Now, yesterday, one of the guesses for this was liberty. Because in place names, we're talking about cities, we're talking about parks and places like that. What is the most common patriotic-sounding word used within place names? Now, it's not liberty, so what might it be? Speaking of liberty, we had a lot of guesses on this one yesterday. Let's see if we can come up with the right answer today. What happens with the Liberty Bell on July the 4th? Every year, there is still something that happens with the Liberty Bell on July the 4th. A matter of fact, tomorrow this event will go on. What is done to the Liberty Bell every July 4th? Does anybody know the answer to that one? I like this question, and we didn't have any guesses on it yesterday either. Who is the most famous person who did not sign the Declaration of Independence? And why are they the most famous person who did not sign the Declaration of Independence? Now think of all those people who signed it, and think of all those people who would have been around at that time. Who was the most famous person who did not sign the Declaration of Independence, who would have been alive at that time? And why were they the most famous person not to sign it? There's kind of an irony in that whole thing. And we didn't get this one answered yesterday either. Where else is American independence celebrated other than America? There is another place in the world where American independence is celebrated outside America. Does anybody know where that is? All right. tickets to Zumbezi Bay, tickets to the Columbus Zoo, tickets to the Dublin Irish Festival, and tickets to Jack Hanna's Wilds. 36 minutes past the hour. Telephone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have the answers to any of these questions? Where is American Independence celebrated outside of America? Where will they be celebrating American Independence tomorrow outside of America? Who is the most famous person who did not sign the Declaration of Independence? And why are they the most famous person who did not sign the Declaration of Independence? Go ahead, caller.
Good morning and happy 4th.
Happy 4th, yes. Pre-4th.
Pre-4th.
Yeah. Yes.
The recipe sounds very good, Scott. If you like macaroni.
Well, I can honestly say when I am at home, I never make macaroni and cheese.
Well, see, that's why you really love it then. Right?
That's why, well, and I'll tell you, it fools them every time.
Yeah.
They have no idea that that's just instant stuff under
until
there.
Until they ask you for the recipe?
Well, I don't give it to them.
Oh!
No, see.
Well, I hate to tell you, Scott, but there's a few people's going to know it.
They'll know it now. See, I've let it out of the bag for the first time. But the things I do for this radio
show. I know. Well, listen, I got to thinking about that Liberty Bell, and after what you told me yesterday about Charlie, I'm pretty sure what it is they clean the bubble gum out from underneath at every 4th.
Well, see, that's why those kids all have to wear white gloves, because there's so much bubble gum under that Liberty Bell.
Charlie could tell us with his pictures.
Yes, nobody called in and asked. Oh, I've totally forgot. Nobody called in and asked him this morning about laying on the floor and looking up at the Liberty Bell. We should have done that.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting because what they do really does have a lot of significance, and I'm surprised that nobody's Googled it or... I'll tell you what it is to me. If you were at the Liberty Bell, if you were in charge of that, what would you do on July the 4th to celebrate?
Well, it seems like you would go over it with a polish it.
Well, they probably do that a lot, I would think.
And I kept wondering, do they clean the clapper?
Why don't they just repair that crack? You know, I don't think that's a good sign for our country. I think we've become...
Yeah, but it's steeped in history.
But isn't that a bad sign that when this country was being founded, the bell that we rang to signify that we had the Declaration of Independence read cracked?
Well, if that isn't, then singing Yankee Doodle.
That's right. And we just keep singing it. And it was like a bully song back in those days.
That's because most of us don't even pay attention to the lyrics. We just like...
Well, I wonder how that became Americanized when it was used to bully the American troops.
Well, I don't know. That is kind of a good question, but I don't know about that.
So what do you think about, do we now, 200 years later, appreciate America like the people who fought for this country did?
I think some of us do, Scott, because in my heart, I have such a warm heart for my country and the flag and anything to do with patriotism. So I'm just almost sure that there are a lot of us out there that do.
Well, I hope. And I think that was Madge's reasoning for doing that every
mm-hmm.
year, was do people really? Do
yeah.
they really get it?
And, well, it makes them think.
Yeah, well, it does. And I like that thing that she did. What appealed to me about that, not only was I a good friend of hers, but what I liked about that, it didn't have to do with fireworks. It didn't have to do with the national anthem. Not that those things aren't fine, but we see so much of that on the 4th of July. I thought that was a real thinker, and that is a true story about Ben Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
How many people know that story?
Well, that's true.
I just think I'm glad we're able to keep that tradition alive, and I'm glad somebody recorded that before she left
mm-hmm.
us.
Well, that a lot of people just don't think so much about traditions, and they always want to change everything. But you can change things into oblivion, you know. And I guess I'm just one of these type of people that like to. Like tradition so much, and like I said, I deep down in my heart, I just love my country. So,
Well, you know, and I think we should love this country, but I think sometimes, and I don't think it's wrong to criticize things in the country, but I think sometimes that's taken very negatively, and it's not about the country. If we didn't like the country, I think we would find someplace else to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things, but I, you know, the people who fought and had Yankee Doodle sang at them, and you know, were there when the Liberty Bell cracked and all that, they had a real appreciation because that's what they were fighting for.
Right, as well as any that have went to war during the times when that was, like you was, we were just celebrating D-Day, you know, and...
Well, and I think that's the irony of it, is that if you go to a soldier, which is interesting to me, most soldiers don't, and I can't speak for all, but most soldiers don't seem to care when people speak badly about this country because they feel that's the right that they were protecting.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You don't know what they feel deep down, though. You know, there are things everywhere said and done every day that just... cuts like a knife through me, but I don't always speak up. I hear it, and I think I don't like that, but...
Well, yeah. The thing that bothers me is when we associate people who are living now with the country. Because I think those are separate things. I think that the Ben Franklins, the Thomas Jeffersons, the George Washingtons, people like that, John Adams... I think they are representations because they helped come up with the government. They were there fighting in the war. They were a part of it. I think anybody alive today, to associate them so closely with the country, I mean, we're citizens, but I don't think we've done anything necessarily to produce the country. We live in it and benefit from it, but I don't know that we have fought. We don't, you know, I don't know that anybody's ever tried to take our rights away since the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's a lot of us that keep their eye on it. It reminds me of when my boys were little. You know, they thought sometimes they were getting by with things, and we laugh about today, but I says, yeah, but Mama was watching the whole time.
Well, that's it. And I think when it all comes down to, it's one of the reasons I'm a little, you know, one of the questions that was answered early on in the week, where are most American flags made? China. You know, I think about that and I think we don't have to do that, but we do it because of cost.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing to do because we do take a lot of stock. I mean, we care that people salute. We care that people stand for the national anthem. We don't want the flag to drape the ground. If it does drape the ground, a lot of people feel the flag needs to be burned. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but, you know, these things are made in China now.
Yeah, I found that. I did not realize it. I thought somewhere along the way they decided that they would produce them all in the United States, but maybe that changed somewhere along the way and... nobody told me, or I wasn't aware of it, but,
well,
yeah, I thought they...
Well, I hope they do, and I do think sometimes, and we'll see a lot of this tomorrow, is people have sweatpants or jackets or T-shirts with the American flag on them, and I think that's okay, but some people get angry over that.
Yeah, well, that's a slippery slope.
Well, people can go overboard.
Yes.
People can go overboard, that's for sure.
Oh.
Do you have any big plans for the 4th?
No, probably spend it in the studio working and just, no, I don't, Scott.
Well, you could make up this macaroni and cheese.
And eat it all myself.
Eat it all. You will be so
no.
happy. Just eat it over the course of the day.
Oh.
Start at like 11 o'clock and just eat it up until like midnight.
And then the next morning I'll need a plunger.
you might, and you might have to call somebody out.
Yeah.
But it'll be worth it because that's how we celebrate.
Well, that does sound very, very good, and I like the way you put it all together yourself. That was out of your head.
That was out of my head because I was trying to be crafty.
Is that a little play on words?
That's a little play on words. And I thought if I could just pull this off. And I was shocked that, you know, because a lot of times you make things instant. And you try, like I know people who go to the store, and they'll do this tomorrow. And you always know when they do it. They'll buy the pie, and they'll take it out of the box. And they'll put it like they made that pie. And I'll say, boy, this tastes like Marie Callender's. But they do that. And you can't get away with that. But what I was shocked about was this macaroni. I don't know if it's because of the melting of the cheese or because it's in a casserole dish, but nobody catches it. I get away scot-free.
And you say you just absolutely won't share the recipe with your friends, right?
Right, when I'm at the thing, because then it would make me look, you know, like I didn't do anything. Then I just went and bought some instant macaroni and cheese and threw it in a pan.
But we all know...
We all know now, but you know, the people, tomorrow I'll probably make it because I do have a thing to go to, but maybe those people weren't listening. I'll find out tomorrow.
Oh, well, you kind of want them to listen, but yet you don't want them to hear your secret.
Right, I don't want them to hear that. You can't give away everything. It's interesting. I hope somebody gets this Liberty Bell question.
Well, I do too. I mean, other than cleaning it and... I don't know. I thought that answer with the children was, I thought that was spot on. You know, I thought that's what you wanted. But.
That's good. And they do that. The children of the signers of the Declaration of Independence come and touch the Liberty Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Have a good Fourth.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, here we are, WWGH Radio. Do you have anything you'd like to add to the program today? 740-383-99. Give me a ring, 740. Oh, here we go, the phone line ringing again. This is going to be a lot of fun. Now, here we go. Now, this is going to be something, because I said we might have a special phone call today, and I believe we now have that special phone call. Here we are on 4th of July Eve, and who is the biggest person you think you could book on a show for about 12 minutes? That's all we have left in this hour, and that's all this person can spare. But for me and the sanctity of this show, he's been on before. It's been a long time, but he's coming on for 12 minutes. How about this? The President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. President Trump, how are you?
I'm absolutely fantastic. I'm so excited to be celebrating 4th of July. We're going to have a very special 4th of July. You know, in past years, they haven't really focused on the United States and 4th of July events. But the focus this year will be on the United States and me, of course, because I'm such a tremendous president, the greatest president in the history of presidents, other than the late, great Abe Lincoln, whose wife was maybe a three. But this parade is going to be so incredible, I have to tell you. We're going to have tanks. We're going to have Tom Cruise missiles. We're going to have tomahawk steaks. We're going to have submarine sandwiches. We're going to have all the food that sounds military. It's going to be really, really incredible, I have to tell you, Scott.
President Trump, this parade, it sounds magnificent.
It is. It's going to be so big, you know, and so many people, you know, they say it's nonpartisan. It's supposed to be nonpartisan, but I'm not nonpartisan, and I'm the president. So we're going to make it partisan, and it's going to be great, and we're going to celebrate me. And I'm only going to speak for maybe 2 or 3 hours. Stop. That's it. Like I didn't see back.
Do you have any family events planned tomorrow in the midst of this day with the big parade going on?
Well, you know, I was just at the G20, in Japan, and I got a lot of heat. Got a lot of heat for Ivanka being in the photo with all the world leaders. But, you know, what the other world leaders didn't know was it was bring your daughter to G20 day. That's why she was in the photo. So all those other people, they made the mistake, not me.
Oh, how was the G20 overall?
Well, it was great. I got to see Pooty. He's a wonderful guy. And then, you know, I saw Xi Jinping, you know, of China. You know, China, terrible people, the Chinese, terrible people. Great takeout, terrible people. But we're going to work on a deal. I have a very good relationship with everyone, with everybody, except Angela Merkel from Germany. He's a weird guy. He's a very strange man. He dresses like a woman, very unattractive woman, I might add, very unattractive woman. But, you know, it was very good. And then I went to North Korea to see Big Rocket Man, as they call him now. And I stepped over the line. I'm the very first U.S. president ever to go to China. And I'll probably get a Nobel Peace Prize. I'm not saying that. People are telling me, you know what I mean? I didn't say it, you know, but I think a Nobel Peace Prize would be wonderful. I mean, Barack got one. I think I should definitely get one for solving this terrible, terrible situation in North Korea, which no other president could even attempt to deal with. But I've done such a tremendous job. And, you know, Kim showed up, and that means he wants to make a deal. And I think the deal so far is going very well because Kim hasn't killed anybody on the deal team. So I think he's happy.
What was it like to cross the DMZ?
Well, it was very easy. It was only like, you know, a couple of feet. I actually had told him come by himself. He brought like 9 people, which I was not happy about, I have to tell you. But we jumped into North Korea, and we walked a few feet in, and then all these reporters, North Korean reporters, and I said to him, I whispered in his ear, I thought you killed all these people. He said, no, these are just a few leftovers. So that was nice. So he kept a few. And then we went back to the South Korean side. It was a melee. It was a melee. It was chaos. But we got some great photos, and we had a great deal, and Ivanka did a great job, and I have to tell you, I think she's going to be the next president. I think she's going to be the next president. I mean, after me, because I'm probably going to be president for life, you know, 2 terms, 3 terms, 4 terms. And, you know, at my rallies, many people say, president for life. How can you be president for life? And I said, well, we have to change the Constitution, which is actually very easy. You know, the elitists, the liberals say, I don't know the Constitution, but I do know the Constitution. I know all 10 commandments. You know, number one, thou shalt not be poor. And I'm rich. I'm really, really rich, I have to tell you. But I think if I'm president for life, and then once that's over, Melania can come in. I mean, Ivanka, you know, and maybe Melania could be vice president. That would be incredible.
How is Melania? We don't see a whole lot of her.
Well, you know what? It's funny. She's so fun. You know, we have a big house. The White House is a big house. And she likes to play hide and go seek. And she's good. I have to tell you, she's good. It'll be 4 and 5 days. I don't even see her. And I look. Believe me, Scott, I look all over that house. She's a good hider. And then she'll pop up and be in another country, which I find amazing. You know, she's so good she can get out of the house unseen, get on a plane, and fly to Africa. It's very, very impressive.
Well, President Trump, I hate to bring this up on pre-4th of July, but, you know, the Democrats held their first debates last week.
Boring!
Okay. Do you have anything else?
No, they were boring. And the only one who was even a little feisty was Kamala Harris. She was very mean. Very mean. She was very mean to Joe Biden. Joe is old and infirmed. And, you know, Joe Biden is so old, they discontinued his blood type. Did you know that? Did you know that? That's how old he is. He was a politician in Galilee with Leviticus. That's how old Joe Biden is. I mean, that's old. I mean, I thought Bernie was old. Bernie's like a youngster compared to Joe. You know, Joe's not the same. He doesn't look the same. He doesn't act the same. He doesn't talk the same. I think he's been replaced. I think that's not Joe Biden. That's somebody else.
Well, what did you make of Bernie last week in that debate?
Bernie got his hair combed, which I thought was a huge step for him. You know, because up to just a few weeks ago, he was combing it with a balloon. So I think now that he's combing it with, you know, an actual comb that is teeth is a big step towards, I don't know what. I mean, you know, he's going to be around. He's obviously, Bernie has some interesting ideas, and he's got a lot of energy, and people like that don't disappear. So I have to give him, I got to give Bernie some respect for that. You know what I mean? I don't agree with who he is and all that kind of stuff, but he's got a lot of energy. Like Jeb was low energy, but Bernie's high energy. Bernie makes coffee nervous.
I hate to bring this up, here we are again, close to the holiday, but your opponent from the last election, Hillary Clinton, has been quite critical of you as of late.
Really? I haven't heard anything from crooked Hillary Clinton. I thought she was in jail.
No, I think she's still up.
What does she say? What does she say?
Well, she's not very happy with the way you're handling things. And
oh, who cares? All right, what else?
Well, she doesn't believe that you're doing the right thing by the people down at the border and that this is a mess and a crisis.
Well, it is. It is a mess and a crisis. But guess what? You shouldn't be coming in illegally. Illegally. That's the key word. What's the key word, Scott? Illegal. You know, I don't like what's happening down there. It's a terrible thing, and that's why we're building the wall. 2,000 miles long, 55 feet high, with a Trump hotel on top every 100 miles, with the windows facing the American side. You know, we built a section of the wall. I mean, we did, not the government. But a private contractor built 13 miles. 13 miles of wall. Did you know this?
That's a lot of wall.
That's a lot of wall, and they did it with GoFundMe. GoFundMe, and they did it four times as fast as any of the contractors.
Now, one of your comrades in the elite group that are presidents of the United States living, former President Jimmy Carter, this week made some headlines by saying you are not legitimate.
How is that?
Well, that you are an illegitimate president because of Russian interference.
Well, you listen, I'm already here and I'm halfway through.
Is that right? Well, so it doesn't matter.
You know what I mean? He's a nice old guy who sells peanuts on the roadside. That's all I can say about Jimmy Carter. And what a mess the country was when he was president. What a mess. Total mess.
Well, before we let you go, President Trump, what is the message that you have for all Americans tomorrow celebrating the 4th of July, Independence Day, and the fireworks and the whole bit?
Well, you know, there's fireworks, there's hot dogs, there's hamburgers, but don't forget what this is really, truly about. Me. So, you know, bear that in mind.
Well, that's a very short speech for you, President Trump.
I know, it's incredible, but they've been telling me, it's a good thing about Twitter. It helps me kind of refine my answers. But, you know, I want everyone to have a safe and happy holiday all over the country. Remember that this is the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we're going to keep making America great. That's the new slogan, keep America great. Keep America great. And we're going to do it. And there's MAGA, and now there's GAGA. So we've got both. We're covered.
Well, President Trump, I can't thank you enough for making time for us here on July 3rd.
All right, Scott, always a pleasure. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
And we should mention that, of course, President Trump today is portrayed by John DiDomenico, who has done this for us so many times. John, you've gotten so busy. How are things?
Things are great. People can watch me now on my Amazon Prime comedy special called Fake News, A Trump Story. And I have a feature film coming out later this month called Purge of Kingdoms, which is a Game of Thrones parody. And it's a feature release. So it'll be in movie theaters.
Perfect. John, we thank you for making time for us. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Always. Thanks, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye. John DiDomenico. You know what? And that's just a little fun pre-4th of July. Hope you had a good time with that. John's been coming on with us since before the 2016 election. I think he dates back to 2015 with us, by the way. He is a funny, funny man. We've got a little bit of time left. Does anybody want to call in? 740-383-9944. Does anybody know what happened on July 4th, 1938? The year that the White House first celebrated Independence Day, we just need the year. What's the most common patriotic sounding word used within a place name? What do they do at the Liberty Bell on July the 4th? What will they be doing at the Liberty Bell tomorrow? We still don't have that. The most famous person who did not sign the Declaration of Independence, and why are they the most famous person? Where else is American independence celebrated outside of America? 740-383-9944. A little bit of time left here. We have got tickets to Zumbezi Bay, tickets to the Columbus Zoo, tickets to the Wilds, and tickets to the Dublin Irish Festival coming up on August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Or do you have a recipe, or do you want to make a comment on anything in hour number one? We've got a big hour number two coming up, so you don't want to go anywhere. 740-383-9944. Any questions? Any comments? 740-383-9944. I guess not. Enjoy that macaroni and cheese, and we're going to be back in about 10 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
The Skyrim from Francis, go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went in franchise, so we can get the news. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh,